Okay.
Okay,
episode two.
Excited. Episode one was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a it wasn't a surprise reaction, but
you were really surprised.
I mean, who knew how this was going to go?
How many times did you listen to it?
I don't even think I listened to it once.
Oh my gosh. It's been on background.
But you know, it doesn't get more downloads if you listen to it 12 times.
I know. I tried to download it on different devices.
Yeah. Anyways, it was on. I was so happy to hear everyone being so supportive. It was like,
there was great feedback.
Not that I was like so surprised, because I feel like people want to always know more, which is great. But it was like, we're putting ourselves out there. So it was like,
well, you really put yourself out there.
Well, Barbara,
you were like, I listened back to it once and there was a lot of personal stuff on there.
And I have instant anxiety. No, it was good. I like, listen, I think this is a very good format for us. I
It was a lot of people thought that was, I think, when I originally said Benji dated a horse, I think they thought that I was calling his ex a horse.
Oh shit. That was a literal horse.
Anyways, no, I'm not that mean, guys. Yeah. Well,
okay. So let's talk about Ali, cause this is episode two.
Yeah.
Now that the pressure is on, but we did
want pressure's on a little,
but we wanted to bring her on to get,
we wanted to get the goods.
Oh,
look at that. That's full circle.
Yeah, we want to get the questions and the answers that like people think when they see her posting me and my sister wife. Like, that's pretty cool and uncommon. And I feel like people want to know how she got
there.
People
want to know
about
her
career at the same time.
Hot 30-year-old
British
30-something husband.
Does he have tattoos on his?
How did they meet? Oh, does he have any interesting piercings?
Is there a piercing on his chota region?
Whoa, Annie.
Do you know what that is?
I don't know.
This is a word for you. Do you know what the chota region is?
I do, but I don't think we can go there.
Well, I don't think we can go there.
Well, we're not getting any.
Anyways, Allie is coming on. We're very excited to talk to her. And
she's going to keep it real. She told us we have a safe word.
Yes.
Yeah. Caulking.
Caulking. Yep.
C-A-U-L-K-I-N-G. Don't get your head out of the gutter.
It's never not in the gutter.
And let's go, Allie.
Let's do it.
Let's get the goods. Allie Budd.
Allie Budd.
Interior designer.
A-B-I.
Mom of three. Lifestyle show.
Coming
actress.
Up.
Actress. I don't know about that. I don't know how good my acting abilities are. I think that the show has like a very serious editing budget
for me. Right. Okay.
Like, there's a very high budget for editing.
Okay, that's good. Know your audience. You know.
Well, no. And I know that I'm like, I'm not the most like professional.
Yeah, you can't be working with a strict person.
You
can't be scripted, but that's also why
I swear
why it
a
works.
Lot. Do you know what I mean?
Can you swear on the show or that
they're
has
giving
to get
me probably like two fucks an episode, I feel. Oh, so that's a lot.
That's more than giving zero fucks.
Like, but I'm saying.
Okay. So how we met was 15 years or so ago.
Crazy.
When I was in my 20s, we got our first house and we needed help. Didn't have a budget, and a friend of mine was
she did not have a budget. She had a very tight.
Would love to hear that.
No,
so got a house, didn't have a budget.
She had a very tight budget.
Sorry, oh. I mean, like we couldn't spend on a designer.
No,
sorry,
oh,
that's
sorry.
Oh God,
sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Enter Allie Budd.
Yes.
Well, there was no money for a designer.
I had an infinite budget. There were very few interior designers that were like doing things on the cheap. There were very big ones that I knew of that we could not afford. And one of my friends was like, Allie Budd is just starting out.
Yep.
She's really, really good at sourcing from like HomeSense
and
all these places.
Please don't use that word. I was a good high. It's like Voldemort. She is a good like high low. I still am.
I think that's a very good skill.
Well, now you're good high high, but at the time,
still good high low.
No, you can still pull it out.
You were very resourceful.
Very resourceful, which we needed, and that was how we met you. Okay, let's circle back. So the personal life.
Sure. So you want me to talk about my divorce?
No. I'm going to put it into context for everybody because when I messaged you, when I kind of talk about you, you're obviously super talented. People know how talented you are. I think there is interest there. And one of the things I am, as a friend, personally very proud of you.
You've done an incredible job
with your career. But with how you parent and how you navigated your divorce, I am very proud and impressed.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about it not in a gossipy way, I'm very proud. And a lot of my friends now, unfortunately, this is
it happens. It's our age, right?
Like I'm almost 40.
Tenure itch, and people are separating. It happens.
I think it's more how you like got through it, you navigated it, and you did it in a very
I mean, you were with me through like the nitty grit, like nitty gritty, like really dark times of it. So obviously going through a divorce in general is whatever the circumstance around how you decide to end a marriage, it is heart-wrenching, right? And for me, you know, I had two very small children. Like James was two. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking like babies here.
Yeah.
And it was totally the most, the most terrified I've ever, forget all the hurt and the sadness because like that, of course, but I think what people don't talk about, especially as women, is like the terror. Like the sheer terror of how, like, I remember it was
like the terror of feeling of knowing, alone like,
of
the unknown.
Like, I literally,
it's a sole responsibility.
The marriage ended. I remember literally my first weekend with the kids, I took them to the zoo. I remember this. I didn't know what to do with them. Right. And it's not like I'd never been alone with my children. Of course I'd been alone with my children, but it's something different mentally when it's like, you're not just doing something with them. There's no one to go home to.
Right.
You know? And I remember I went to the zoo and I'm pushing them in their double stroller and I'm sobbing through the zoo because I felt like, how on earth am I going to do this? I sat down with my accountant and I said, like, literally, listen to me.
Lauren, love your accountant.
I sat down with Lauren and I said, give it to me straight. Like, I need to know where I'm at. Like, do I need to marry for money? Like, where are we
where
in
are
this?
We going
like, if that's
with this?
A barometer of like what's happening to me financially, like, am I a year from that? Like, I didn't know, you know what I mean? The business was okay, but it wasn't.
It wasn't even, at the scale that it was.
Not even close to what it is now. And, you know, I was scared, right? About like how, because I knew I didn't want to just like support my kids. I wanted to like go to Miami for a month. And I wanted
to have a life.
Yeah. I wanted to have a life. And I, you know, I had to buy my house. I was like, there's so many things. I had also been with my husband since we were kids. I had truly never been on my own. So like facing being on your own for the very first time with two babies, your own business.
And your own business, yeah.
It was like, I really wouldn't wish that. I mean, listen, like anything in life, you don't know how strong you are until you're faced with something.
So you can't.
And there's so many things that was like, it's like the worst thing that ever happened to me turned into the best thing that ever happened to me. But obviously,
people do say that though. Yeah.
But
right?
you need perspective. You could never see that in a bad situation. You can't. You don't have that perspective to look back and see how you got through it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so.
No, you just have your friends being like, get through the day. Through till tomorrow.
So actually, and I would say Brenda Eisen, we shared an office at the time.
And Brenda is an architect.
Brenda's an architect. She's a really close friend of mine. We were sharing our office space at the time. And so she was one of the first, you know, like my handful of really close friends knew. I was also really embarrassed, you know, and that's like another emotion that I think that people don't really. It's like you feel like a failure, you know, and like this whole world we live in is so gossipy. And I was so worried how I'd be perceived by people. And like, I didn't want people talking about me, like all of these things. Anyways, so Brenda says to me, I tell her and I'm hysterical. I don't know how I'm going to get up. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And she said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to come to work every day. You're going to fucking put your makeup on. You're going to get dressed. And in this office, that doesn't exist. Like you live, when you're here, you are powerful. You're building your business. You are focusing on like this alley, bud. And when you go home, you're a mom, but you can collapse, do your thing. Right. But never here. I don't want to see you fucking cry here. Mm. It doesn't exist here. And it was like, it was harsh, but it was exactly like what I needed in that moment. Yeah. I know, but it was like, she's a really good friend. And it was like, I think she just needed to like mother me in a way that other people weren't doing because they were so sensitive to my feelings at the time.
Right, they didn't want
to
hurt you.
And she was like, park your feelings for a second. Like, this is it. You're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Like there's no, you know, and I try like whatever, all the things you do when your marriage is ending to save your marriage. I did all of them. I did every single one of the things that someone tries to do when that's what's happening and none of it worked. And, you know, I think she was just trying to center me and it was like, I honestly do not believe I would be where I am in my career if I didn't go through that period of my life because it lit the biggest fire under me to like, I don't know who I was proving something to.
Because well, I think it was probably you
I
also.
Guess, but like, I was like, I am gonna, you get to a point where you're so sad and so tired and so mentally exhausted. You don't even care. You just stop caring what anyone thinks. Mm. And Instagram at that time was starting to become like more relevant from a marketing and business perspective. You know, when Instagram first came out, it was really like Polaroids of our kids and, you know, people were using it. Like people weren't using it from a business perspective at that point as much. Tool. Right. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I can talk. And I'm like, I'm just going to let it go.
It seems to be okay. I'm just going to
let it go. And I started to just stop caring what anyone thought of me. And I had cared a lot previously. Like I had always sort of like ran through my head how I would appear to people, what someone would think of me. Like as secure as I was, I was also really insecure.
Yeah.
And then I went to this point where it was like, I didn't have the energy. I was like, I need to fucking move.
You went to work. And I think, you know what? You were in a good situation where you had your work to throw yourself into.
Yeah, and I love what I do. Like so much. And I like loved the concept of building a brand and building a business. And I didn't have any money. Like to the point I'd bought my house. Like it was every penny I'd ever had, you know, that I'd ever saved went into buying my house so I could keep the kids there. And it was like, well, I don't have any money for publicity or, you know, however to market myself. So what can I do?
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, I have a phone and like people are starting to use social media for this kind of, you know, for this thing. And I just like threw myself into, I thought I'm just going to be authentic and I'm going to put what we're doing every day out on Instagram. I think people started responding to it like really well.
I think Instagram, like, I mean, I totally get the whole, like, putting yourself out there and being so self-conscious about what you're doing.
You have to let it go.
Because I think we were at this point where it was like, we were so concerned. We're like, are we saying the wrong thing? Like, are we going to offend someone? How do we? And like at some
I
point.
I still do that every day.
I know, but I was just you have to get to a point where you can't care.
I think the first part of my career, I was so busy trying to emulate other people, like looking at these top designers or like, you know, it's funny because even like, I don't even know what was going on the internet at that point, reading the magazines, how this person's doing it, how this person's doing it. And it was like during that time period, I just stopped caring and stopped trying to emulate what other people were doing. And I'm like, I'm going to do it my way. And that's going to be right. And it's going to be wrong. And it's going to be all the things, but it's going to be my way. And that's what I did. But yeah, circling back to that time in my life, I feel like it was, and then it also became really exciting. You know, like I started gaining traction in the business and started hiring, you know what I mean? Like I started being able to do things like financially, have this independence that I wanted. And it made me truly realize that I never, ever, ever wanted to be reliant on anyone ever. Like I wanted all the things, but I wanted to do it myself. And if that's not a fire, like what's a fire?
Yeah.
You know, that really, it's like that combination with doing something I love so much with wanting it so badly so that I could have the life that I wanted on my own terms. It like changed my life, really.
Well, I think that's also just like so empowering too, because it's like no matter what you want, it's just as long as you know that you have like the ability to do it. Do you know what I mean?
But nobody knows they have the ability to do it
until they're in it.
You just have to, knowing that you can just,
and you just one foot in front of the other every fucking day and you just go.
But you found what made you tick, which was like, I think really important. Like in those moments, you loved work. So there's probably a lot of people that like maybe are in those situations.
But you still have your damn, like I remember I would read all these like books because like you always want to try and identify with someone, right? That's like going through what you're going through. And I read this book and I couldn't tell you what it's called and I couldn't tell you who wrote it.
Great
book review.
We'll link it.
She said in this book and it's always stayed with me. You can have all the friends in the world. You can have all the support. You can be doing this and doing this, but nobody can meet you on your kitchen floor at 3 a.m. when you're alone. Like those are the moments that you have to figure out how to navigate yourself.
Yeah.
And like, I think that I had spent so much time in my life because I got married young, you know, doing for others and not really exploring myself and what my inner strengths were. And like those 3 a.m. kitchen floor moments where you're alone, you know, you really are alone and you have to figure out what that is going to look like for
you. In those really sad moments, you also planned a trip to Vegas.
Yes. It's true.
With some friends.
So I had a bunch of girls.
Obviously,
yes.
Can we
just talk about, so we're transitioning to the dating.
Okay, because
dating post.
Lauren's a very pivotal part of this story.
Give me some juicy things right now because we get it.
Okay.
And a lot of people understand that. I'm not trying to downplay
You're
that.
We're trying to minimize the divorce, but we also want to get to how you met your
how I
hot
met my
hubby.
I think a lot of people. Okay, I'm going to get to this in a second. But anyways, I was sitting beside a girl who happened to be single. And I remember looking at the guys and I pointed to Martin and I said, I know his name is Martin. I said, see that one? He's the hottest, first of all. But also, he's not like the one who's like screaming in the pool and like doing shots. And like,
he's not the dude.
That's the one. Like, he's the one of this whole group. Like, you want to hook up with one. I was telling her, you want to go after one of these guys. Like, that's the one you want. Like, he's the smoke. Like, that's him. Anyways, flash forward.
You're like, just kidding.
It ends. You're like, I also liked him in the Union Jack Speedo.
I wasn't even really like, I thought he was very attractive, obviously, but I wasn't like thinking. Anyways, flash forward.
I would love to have met Single Allie at that.
It was Single Allie was a piece of work.
Real fun.
Like, it was, she was a good time. Anyways, she was a good time on this Vegas weekend. And I thought I would never see him again. You know, we ended up spending
the
weekend together.
After you identified him for
you
your
didn't
friend,
go out to him.
You then sought after him.
It was sort of just transpired. It happened. Like, we ended up, we were staying in the same hotel. So we all went out that night separately. I never thought anything of
separately.
These guys. After. We weren't, many people, when you're out on a girl's trip,
I need to give,
do you end up like chatting to, right?
A thousand.
You don't think anything Vegas of it. Life, it's like, that guy's from Australia and this guy's from thing. And like, you just have these like,
So then what happened? You chat at the pool, you go out separately.
I go out with my girl. Friends, we come back, it's like 3 a.m. we're eating fries.
Where?
Okay? Like basically, where? I know, hot and sexy. Like in the lobby.
That's what I'm saying. Like
how's
hotel,
how are you seeing Martin
again? You go with your friends, you're drinking, you're partying, we are eating food, right? 3 a.m. He ends up walking in with a bunch of the friends. We recognize them from earlier. We start talking.
And were you kind of still, you were
I thought my stomach hit the floor when I saw him. Like he was just so handsome and like all the things. And he started talking to me. We continued the weekend. I saw
had
him.
Lots
you know,
of fun.
We had so much fun.
So
and then
much
I
fun.
Thought it was like how Stella got her groove back. Like I literally never thought I would see him again ever in my life. Like it never even occurred to me. Anyways, I need to tell you this because this is the most pivotal part of the story.
Okay.
Martin is also British and
very, very British. Did not even.
Has tattoos all over his body.
Okay. He lived in England. Very much live. Lanny's really focused
on
the body.
I'm just trying to
tattoo.
Get people that don't. You know what?
Google him. You'll see. Okay. Google me. You'll see him. Okay.
I don't know.
Google something. Anyway, so I got home and I swear to God, it's probably a week after I'm home. I have dinner plans with Lauren. We go for dinner. We go to Tironi. I remember where we're sitting. Brace yourselves. And
I'm like, does
Lauren
he have
been
a brother?
Like navigating my single does life with me. Lauren had been like, she's like, actually people don't, I was going to say like, not a lot of people know this about Lauren, but most people just don't actually know you at all. You're a very, like, there's nothing judgmental about you. You are the easiest fucking friend. You
are
so supportive. You're so loving. Like you just want the people you love to be happy. And you don't fit it in a stupid box like so many other people do. Like you're so open to difference and like all these things. Anyways,
I'm literally crying.
No, I love her a lot. Lauren and I go for dinner.
Yes.
And I'm telling her because I think a lot of people in my life at this point imagined the sorts of person I would end up with. He wore a suit.
He wore chinos.
He
was the chino
lawyer
man.
Or
who
a
was imagining
guy
this?
Or
your
something like
you?
This. Okay. And I say to Lauren, you know, I don't know what to do. And I start telling her about Martin and I start, because it's a hard thing to, I'm 7 years older than him. I have 2 kids. This guy lives in England. I met him in Vegas. The optics are not good for most people in my life to be like, go for it.
And then she showed me a picture.
No, stop.
And then,
so she says to me, the guy I was dating, she says to me, Allie, I don't see this guy. Like, this is not the thing.
Chino
like,
guy.
Gone. Like, be done. Yeah. She goes, tell me more about tattoo British guy. I want to know about that.
I forgot Chino man came by our table.
He was there.
He was there.
Guys, you couldn't write that.
I swear to God. You couldn't write. It was
you
just
were
so
and was he
bad.
Wearing chinos?
Anyways, so Lauren says, I don't understand that for you. Like, I know you well. I love you. Like, I don't get that for you. This I get. Tell me more about this.
That's fine. That's
so
your
I start like telling her all these things. And this is what she says to me because it has actually been something that in my life I refer to a lot.
Wow.
Okay.
Here we go.
So I said to her, I can already start myself.
Do you have
it's been 1 minute and I can feel myself like you know, like literally falling for this guy. My hope, I don't want to get my hopes up, Lauren. I don't, it's such a long shot. I'm older. He's younger. He lives in another fucking continent. I have children. Like the, all the things that could be wrong in this situation were wrong.
Okay.
And so she says, don't you dare say that. She says to me, listen to me, Allie. When I, when Benji and I were going to buy this house.
Okay. Oh,
I wanted this house so badly and it was above my budget and it was all these things. And Benji looks at me and goes, don't get your hopes up. And she goes, no, that's the opposite. Why would you ever put all of yourself into something without getting your hopes up? Hopes up, Allie. Like, that's not a way to protect yourself, right?
Whoa,
like,
Ren,
you need to have your hopes up when you're going to put yourself into something because it's going to hurt just as bad if something doesn't happen. It's a stupid game that people play with themselves. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. But it's like,
my hopes are high always.
Hopes up. And now it's funny, like when I really want something, instead of, no, but it's true. Instead of playing that game with myself where I say, I am self-deprecating or I say, I don't think it's going to happen. Or I like literally say to myself, no, hopes up. Hopes up, motherfuckers.
Guys, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I think
was I the original
manifester?
Maybe. But it was like in that moment, Gandhi? It's what I needed to hear from someone who loves me.
Business partner?
It's true.
Gandhi?
She said, you get your hopes up and if you're going to do it, like this can't work unless you're all in. It's already stacked against you.
Well, one of the things I actually remember you telling me after you'd been married for a while with Martin was that you also didn't realize that you weren't necessarily happy in your marriage.
Totally.
And I think for a lot of women, you become very complacent and you almost don't know.
So I have to say this because I don't want it to come across as any other way. My ex-husband is a wonderful human being. Mm. It's not like he's some not nice guy or like anything. We just were kids.
Yeah.
And ultimately grew apart.
You changed.
You know, but it's like he's a wonderful father and a friend to me now. And like I would never say.
Yes.
But
I think a lot of people like you mistake hurt and anger for someone being bad.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
No, it just wasn't right.
It was the end of a very big chapter in your life.
And I was hurt.
And you were hurt. And I think you would have maybe kept going on that trajectory.
I'm the most loyal person in the world. Like when I'm in. To a fault at times, like, yeah. And I think that it's easy, especially when you're young and you don't know any difference.
Mm.
I didn't know, like I'm with my husband now and I even see Josh now with his wife and he's so, so happy. And you know, she's wonderful. And it's like, I didn't know that this is what marriage could be.
Right.
You know, and now I do, which is like, it's a very different thing, you know, for me, having this experience with my husband now.
Well, and you've literally, I remember this, you did that from day one where you were like, I'm going to put whatever I feel aside and whatever I'm feeling right now towards my ex, towards this whole situation. And it's going to be about the kids. And at the end of the day,
how did you know to do that though? That's a really hard thing
to
do.
You know what? It's like watching other people. I would watch, you know, we all know people have gone through divorces and have gone through messy divorces and the money and the fighting and the plan. And it's like, it's so simple. Just love your kids more than you hate your ex. And that's all you have to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, because anything, all the contentious stuff with your ex, all the things that you let get you, first of all, it's the worst feeling in the world to be so angry all the time. But it's like, and you live with that, you're only hurting your children. Like when you play them off each other and when you're talking shit about it's their parent, like my children, and there's nothing bad to say about their dad, you know, but of course, when you're going through it and you're hurt and you're whatever, they will never and have never heard a bad word about their father from me. They never would. You know, I feel so strongly, and it's not that I don't understand the pain and the hurt. Of course I get it. But it's like my responsibility when I chose to have children, number one, is to my kids and their well-being. And I like took this parenting course years ago and they talked about how our job is to raise good adults. There's no such thing as good children.
What do you mean years ago? Like when you were like a young parent.
I was a young parent.
Not a baby.
It was like this Jewish thing in Israel. And it was like this course on parenting.
I'm
also like very spiritual. I'm like not religious, but like spiritual. So anyways, I took this, I listened to this speaker. I took this course and it was so fascinating to me because it talks about how all kids are goodness, essentially, even the ones that are naughty or the ones that are this. Our job is not to raise
kids out there.
There are, but our goal as parents is to figure out how to give them coping mechanisms and release them as great adults. And good adults need to be comfortable in relationships and know that love is real and that I want them to have one family.
Yeah.
We always say like two houses, one family. When I read a book one day that is probably going to be what it's called. Because I want to be like part of all of their things.
Right.
I don't want it to be Josh and Aaron's weekend. So I'm not going to their blah, blah, blah. I want to go to the first day of camp or the buses, no matter whose weekend it is. Mm. I want to be with them all day on their birthday, no matter whose weekend it is. And you right. have to respect boundaries, of course, because right. of course they need their own family time, just like we need
ours. But any of the big milestones, you want to all always. Be there together.
And like, I also think raising kids, you guys know this, it's a lot of decision-making, you know, a lot of parenting. They're not babies. Like they're both with their own personalities. And we have to talk a lot. You know, I called Aaron this morning because, first of all,
can you say how much you love your sister wife?
I have to be, you know, you don't get to choose who your ex marries, right? You get literally zero choice. Yeah. And if there was a lineup of everyone in the world, I swear to God.
It was me.
I mean,
Aaron, would you?
Well, Annie, I think it sounds like it would be Aaron.
Was Lauren, actually.
I prefer Lauren.
Well, guys.
But no, Aaron, for sure. She's so ambitious. She's really career driven. She's so loving. She's so warm. She's really very much on board with the vision for the family. She's somebody I truly would have been friends with had I met her in a different circumstance.
Can we also say she loved your children?
Oh my God.
Which is, at the end of the day, it's everything, right?
Does anyone grow up and you say, that was too much love for you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like my kids will say to you, they'll look at you and they'll be like, Joey wouldn't say this. She's too old now. James would probably say to Gemma, you only have two parents. I'm so lucky.
Right.
I have four. You know, like that's the way my children see this. And it's like Aaron, nothing threatens me. I'm their mom. Right. Yeah. But it's like they have this woman in their life when I'm not there. And she's loving and wonderful and like respectful of me. You know, I remember once she thought there was something going on with Joey. And instead of just being like, bah, 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 you know, and like doing all that, like she called me and she was like, listen, this is what I think's happening. Like, what do you want to do about it? And like, this was early days and it was like the most respectful way, you know, she was there for Joey. She was very present for her, but also making sure that I felt like I had a say because it was a feminine situation, you know, that we were talking about. She's just amazing. And I think it's funny. I'm the only one of the Martin, you know, all of us that didn't have divorced parents. And they're all very much, and especially with Gemma, because she doesn't, like, she's the child, obviously, of Martin and I. And she will, like, we sing a good night song at night for the kids. And we used to do it for Joey and James. Gemma wanted it. We talk about the people that love you at night, okay? Because it's, like, a nice reminder. Yeah. Who loves you? And, like, some days it could be literally, like, when they were little, it could have been the mailman. Like, it could have been anyone. But it's, like, there's always the key players. And for Gemma, two of the key players are Josh and Aaron. Because that's what she Amazing. Knows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's totally unique and it's never what you thought you'd get to in your life. Like I never would have imagined
this
for my life.
But you made the best out of a situation that wasn't.
That's what life's about.
And you put your kids
first.
No, but
that's what life's about. It's about our happiness.
But it's so interesting when you decided to like, I feel like a lot of people have been in that situation and like, not willingly, but just unfortunately, like
you have to be motivated to go through this.
I was going
to
say, you also had a partner who chose to put the kids first as well.
Yes. It makes a huge difference.
Because I know people
you have
are
to
not,
both be willing.
It's not as black and white as like, I want for the kids. And it's not
but
as
maybe
easy
somebody
and black
would
and white
hear
as
this
that.
And think to themselves, I'm sick of fighting and I'm sick of having this. And here's the truth too. I think like you loved this person once. It's like, you don't need to hate them just because you're not married. You can still have friendship and compassion. And it's like all the reasons, like you must have been friends at some point.
I know,
point.
But I feel
I
like
think
it's
every
really,
situation is so
and
different.
Of course,
though, and
I
it's
can't
not
speak
as,
for anyone but me. I
it,
can't
you know
speak
what?
For anyone
I
but
think
me.
It was a lot of you and Josh.
I think that, we made this all of, and also, forget us. We had to be with people who are willing to do this.
It
and
was,
it's not
it was
easy.
All, it was everybody involved
it's not easy.
Chose this path. And it's honestly beautiful. Like it is a very
modern
are you
going to
ask me anything about interior design during
what?
This hour?
Oh, you're interior designer.
Yeah. Or like not really. We're not just, we're not even going to touch on
it. Let's move off because, okay. So let's move off this for a second.
I want to know like, what's the most like crazy, most like ball out things you've ever put in someone's home? Mm. Like craziest, like this, you're like, this is ridiculous. So lavish. This is not necessary.
But I mean, I think like it depends what you look at it as, like lavish, because everything's relative. We've done like glam rooms. We've done Amazon rooms.
Like
it's where your packages go so you can unpack them at a timely fashion.
So what?
Wow.
Can't even keep that in. Like he's dying.
That is.
So I was actually asked to interview on like these unnecessary. It was during COVID. It was a very reputable magazine. And I actually declined the interview because it was so tone deaf. I could not speak to it. It was what wealthy people are doing in their homes during COVID. One person was talking about they were literally, no joke, I swear to God, putting an OR in their basement. Okay. An OR they were putting in their basement, and they wanted me to speak about these opulent, crazy things. And it was just at this time.
I feel like that. Is that a horror movie?
Everyone was like suffering. They wanted to have a full blown hospital in their house in case they ever needed it.
Ooh.
It was wild. Anyways, I declined the interview because I just felt it was
not just for Botox.
No, it was like, I mean, that'd be great, but it was like, it was a lot. I think it was like to like perform a procedure if needed, like a health, like not like a beauty procedure. It was a health procedure. So that I was not asked by that. Let's clarify this, but this was the tone of the article.
I know. I wonder what the ROI is.
And it was just not for me.
Yeah.
As a human, I'm not that.
Yeah.
At all.
Okay. Well, that's pretty fucking weird.
I'm not like a bougie human. So
the Amazon room is also.
It was like a package room.
It's
like
a mail room. A mail room.
Condos have mail rooms.
I thought you were going to tell me something a little more exciting.
The lobotomy room.
That
wasn't
me,
weird.
But that's
pretty
fucked
up.
Somebody did that. It was probably in like Texas.
And
do
you find that, because we were actually talking about this earlier, maybe we can kind of end on this, is like that people, AKA your friends, are supportive? Or do you see the ones that are supportive and ones that aren't? Because we have been feeling that lately, where we have people in our lives who are super supportive, and then we have others.
Those aren't your people.
Totally.
So I'm like really
blessed. It becomes
more
apparent as you get older.
I've had the same like really core group of girlfriends my entire life, and like they know me inside and out. And you know, I have a handful of other kind of collected friends, like Lauren. Sorry, Lanny.
I
feel like over the, you know, I'm turning 40 in about a month. And I think I've sort of gotten rid of anybody in my life that doesn't feel real and who doesn't truly love me and isn't happy for me. And here's the truth. It's like when I'm hanging out with my friends, I'm not like talking about like success. Like it's not like that. And so, no, I feel like, I'm sure that there's people that I'll say whatever, but not the people that are truly close to me. They would never. Their only vibe is to make me feel
to support.
Yeah. Is like
and be proud.
Is to make me feel like good on the days that I feel like I can't believe, like I have imposter syndrome like a million times over. So they're the ones that I think really help me deal with that and like try and make me feel deserving of the things that I have happening right now.
And would you ever hire a friend?
No. I think it's a bad idea.
Would you ever work with a sister-in-law or a sister wife?
Would you ever work with Aaron?
Is freaking, you know what? Here's
if
the thing.
If you guys just did that, that would be
no,
crazy.
Aaron's in PR.
JK, now it's Allie and
Aaron. Aaron is in PR and she is a phenomenal publicist. Like if I could hire her.
You would.
In a second. She's so
good.
You
guys could have a spinoff show because that's quite marketable.
I just can't. Yeah. Like it's too crazy, you know? So I don't know. Maybe if she ended up doing something on her own one day, I'd bring her on for 6 months or something just to like
there's a lot of book deals,
you know?
A lot of book.
Yeah. Like something.
The co-parent, the two homes, one bed. What?
Yeah.
Why? That sounds sexy.
Putting it out there right now that nobody can copy this title. It's called two homes, one family.
There's literally already a book that exists called that. Allie,
you're
crazy.
Thinking of two girls, one
I'm
cup.
Thinking like go to indigo.com right now and see
right.
There's a book.
I don't know.
So throw a CA.
I like the other.
This
guys,
is where Auntie Lanny comes in as a
I
friend.
I like the thing that you said earlier. That really stuck with me.
I said on this podcast.
No.
What do you guys, you know what
love
you should
do? Love your kids more than you love your ex.
Love your kids more than you love your ex.
That is the title of this episode.
I listened to this podcast and they asked the guest.
Said that.
How, you got to name the podcast. You got to name the episode. So what are you guys going to name this episode? So what is it called?
Not cocking.
Not cocking. Cocking all day long.
Cocking.
C-A-U-L. K-I-N-G?
Yeah. All right, guys, it's been real.
Okay, love you, Al.
I love you both.
Mic drop.